We turn God's Word this morning to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, the text this morning will be verses 10 and 11. I'll read the first 20 verses of the chapter. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Thus far we read God's word. The text this morning is verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. As we have witnessed this morning the sacrament of baptism, we understand that baptism is a sign of our adoption. It's a sign and seal of our entrance into the church and covenant of God. What that means is that baptism points out to the child of God that he or she is part of the family of God. All those who are the elect children of God are part of that family. And as part of the family of God, we receive certain blessings and privileges. And how wonderful are those blessings and privileges. And one of the great blessings and privileges of being in God's family is that he chastens us. He disciplines us. We may be enlisting the blessings that are part of being in the family of God. We maybe would not list that one, or if we listed it, it might not be at the top of the list. Maybe something we kind of remember at the end as we start thinking about it a little while. Just think about it from this perspective. You children and young people are thankful for many things that your parents do for you. And you may even, in your prayers, give thanks to God for your parents and the things that they do to you. But did you ever, after receiving a spanking, go up to mom and dad and say, thanks for that, I needed it? You probably never thought much about doing that. But you ought to be thankful for parents who discipline you. But as children of the living God, we ought to be thankful for a father who disciplines and chastens us. It's one of the great blessings we have as in being part of the family of God. Solomon, here in this text, is teaching his son about that. He's teaching his son about the chastening that God does, the discipline that God administers, and the focus of what Solomon is saying to his son is how that son is to respond to the chastening of the Lord. That's what is of utmost importance here. Notice what he says to his son, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." In verse 12, he talks about the fact that God does that. "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth." But now, the focus of Solomon is the response to that chastening and discipline. Don't despise it. Don't be weary of his correction. Solomon here is teaching his son the way of wisdom. He's teaching his son that a wise son responds with a soft heart to reproof and discipline. A foolish son is a son who won't hear that reproof and won't respond in a right way to that discipline. A foolish son lets the words go in one ear and out the other. The foolish son, when disciplined, does not humble himself and confess sin, but is hardened in heart and will not respond in that way to discipline. Solomon is saying to his son, don't respond to the Lord's chastening in that way. But now that has direct application for us as parents this morning and the discipline that we administer to our children. What Solomon is saying here to us as parents is that the way in which we discipline must reflect the way in which God disciplines us. And also, we have the responsibility as parents to teach our children how to respond to that discipline that we carry out on them. We want more than anything else that our children would humble themselves and repent of their sins and that they would be broken for their sins when they are disciplined. God gives us the tool of discipline that they may be broken for their sin. But one of the things we have to teach them as well is how to respond to that discipline so that they learn through that how to respond to the discipline of their Heavenly Father. So that's what we keep in mind this morning as we continue our series, Proverbs for Parenting, looking at the wisdom of discipline. The wisdom of discipline. We notice first the loving activity. Secondly, at the forbidden despising. And finally, at the necessary trust. Those last 2 points especially are getting at that response, that proper response to the Lord's chastening. But before we look at that, we must look at the chastening of the Lord. The chastening of the Lord is an activity of His love. The Lord disciplines us because He loves us. He does not discipline to punish us. His discipline is never like the discipline of sinful parents who discipline out of selfishness, frustration, irritability, and unrighteous anger. That never describes the chastening or the discipline of our God. In fact, that's what sets chastening apart from punishment. Sometimes we call as parents what we do to our children punishment, or our children use that terminology as well. Technically, that's not correct. What the Lord does upon us is chastening and not punishment. God does not punish us because He loves us. And the reason God does not punish us when we sin is because the punishment for all of our sin was poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. The cross enters in here. You can't understand chastening unless you understand the cross. Unless you understand the substitute. The one who took our place on the cross of Calvary. All our sins were punished on the cross. Where the blood of Jesus was shed. And therefore, we take great comfort in those words of Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that hardship and difficulty in life is not punishment, because Jesus bore that punishment in full. The sacrament of baptism pictures that, as we saw it administered this morning. All of our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. All our sins are purged because Jesus bore them in full there on the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ purchased our adoption by His death and by His shed blood, so that we are part of the family of God. And we see and understand then that in this chastening, the Lord is not repaying, but He is reforming. God sends chastisements and disciplines, this discipline upon us, so that we do not continue to live in our sinful, destructive behaviors. He sends these things to turn us from our sins. He disciplines us to make us more like Himself. We are partakers of His holiness. Baptism pictures that too, because remember, the water of baptism is not only a picture of Christ's blood, but the water of baptism is also a picture of the Holy Spirit. It also points to us the sanctifying work of the Spirit within us. God is working in us holiness. It's not completed yet. It's far from completed, in fact. But God is using discipline and chastening to stamp us so that more and more we are conformed to the image of Him and the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is making us more like Himself so that we can live with Him forever. That is what God does in chastening. This chastening takes place in word and deed. We understand that discipline, chastening, is not just a physical act, but words accompany it. That's the idea that you have right here in Proverbs. And throughout the book of Proverbs, you have instruction that's given, not just from Solomon to his son, but from God our Father to His children, so that even as He disciplines us with physical things that happen in our lives, He's constantly speaking to us. He's constantly correcting us. He's constantly telling us what is the right and good way. He's saying to us, don't do that. And if you're going to walk in that sinful way, there will be bad consequences for what you do. Just because Jesus died for your sins on the cross does not mean that there won't be consequences for your sins. There will be. And those consequences, in fact, may last for a lifetime. But God's constantly speaking to us. He's teaching us. But in addition, God chastens us indeed by His providence. As He's ruling over our lives, He's inflicting pain upon us. Just like a spanking inflicts pain upon the backside of a child, so also God is inflicting pain upon us to chasten us, to drive sin out of us. That doesn't mean that every hard thing, every trial that we face in our lives is a chastisement, a discipline for a particular sin. In fact, for us it's hard to know if the severe blows that God sends are connected to a particular sin, or if they're sent generally to strengthen our faith and to strengthen us in godliness and in holiness. But the reality is that God does send hardship in our lives. He sends suffering. There's sickness and disease. There are financial hardships. Troubles in marriages and troubles in homes. And these may be the chastening of the Lord. Because it's hard to know if these things come and they're directly connected to a sin, God's disciplining us for a particular sin and telling us to repent of that sin, when God is chastening us, when there are hardships and difficulties in our lives, we ought to be on our knees crying out to God, search me and try me and show me if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting, as we read at the end of Psalm 139. That ought to be our prayer. So that we would be asking God to show us if He is chastening us, disciplining us for particular sins. This morning, let us understand that we all need the chastening of the Lord because there's still so much sin within us. There's still so much pride, selfishness, and covetousness within our hearts. We lack self-control, godliness, and holiness in our lives. We have to see ourselves that way. You see, we live in an age that says that everybody basically is good and that children are good themselves. And because they're good, we shouldn't criticize them. We shouldn't point out the wrong things that they do because basically they're good and basically they'll turn around on their own. But that's not correct. The book of Proverbs points that out as well. If you look later in the book, Proverbs 22, verse 15, we read there, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So our children need the rod of correction. There's foolishness that is bound up in their hearts. That's true of children. They're born with depraved natures. We're conceived and born in sin. We and our children are sinful, but God is perfecting us through suffering, through discipline. We need discipline because we are so sinful. This morning, all of us as parents and grandparents would agree, I know it, that our children need discipline. But what we have to see as parents and grandparents is that just as much as our children need discipline, we need discipline. We all need discipline, whether we're 6 years old or 60 years old. We all need discipline because of our sin. We all need to grow. And spiritual growth takes place through discipline. And that doesn't end when we're 12 or 13 years old. It doesn't end when we're 40 years old. Constantly, as long as we live here on this earth, we need discipline so that we grow in holiness and in godliness. This is the chastening of the Lord that He sends upon us and why we need it. This, beloved, is what we must teach our children. Solomon is saying this to his son. He says in verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. He correcteth. Even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Solomon makes the point. Just as our heavenly Father disciplines and corrects us, so also I, Solomon saying, as a father, must do that to you, my son. And so also must we as parents do that to our children. In fact, we teach our children about our Father's discipline of us by disciplining them when they sin. That says something to us this morning. There's rich application for us as parents this morning. The first thing is this. If our Heavenly Father disciplines us, we must discipline our children. We live in an age of so-called enlightened parenting. And enlightened parenting supposedly has found a better way to teach children. And that means the absence of discipline. In the end, almost, an absence of saying no to a child, and then an absence of spanking a child, and an absence of giving consequences for actions that children do. Instead, there are different ways promoted. Manipulating children, bribing children, outsmarting our children so that we can, by manipulation, get them to do the things that we want them to do. And supposedly, this is the better way of parenting. But we have to hear this morning what the Word of God has to say. Whether or not we're going to spank our children is not up to us. It has to do with what God our Father says and the way He exercises discipline upon us. God speaks in the book of Proverbs much about this. We read Proverbs 22 a moment ago, verse 15. There are many other passages that speak of that. There's Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. There's Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Then as well, there's Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. And then there's Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Hear what the Word of God has to say this morning. We must discipline our children because we love them. We do this because God has made a connection between their backside and their hearts. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says that the rod drives folly from the heart of the child. They have folly in their hearts, the foolishness of sin, and God uses the instrument of the rod to drive that folly from their hearts. More than anything else, we want children that are holy. God says that one of the tools used that we may have holy children is the rod. Not only must we do that because there's a connection between the backside and their hearts, but we must do this because God's going to continue to do that in their lives. By disciplining our children in a right way, we teach them about the reality that their Heavenly Father disciplines them. Discipline never stops for them. Discipline never stops for any of us. It never does. It's not, well, they get at a certain age, 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever it may be. Maybe we decide we're not going to spank our children anymore. But discipline never stops. Not from parents to children, but from Heavenly Father to His children. He's always disciplining His children as long as they live here on this earth. When we discipline our children, we're teaching them about that work of God. But we must also be guided by this Word of God in how we discipline our children. God's discipline guides us. We see, first of all, that the rod must never be administered alone. It must never be administered alone. The times in which we use the rod are times for us to give instruction and correction. It's time for us to point out their sin to them, what's wrong, and point it out to them from the Word of God. This is what God says, and this is why that was so wrong. And that helps us as well to understand that we must not discipline them for things outside of that. Not just because we're aggravated with them. We've had enough of them. But we discipline them because they're disobeying God and His Word. Not only that, but discipline moments are opportunities for us not only to talk about sin, but to talk about forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. That Jesus has come to pay for that sin. They must repent, yes, but believe as well that Jesus Christ paid for that sin. And that God is using this discipline to work holiness in their lives so that they would turn from that sin. So we have opportunities to teach forgiveness. We have opportunities to teach conversion, what conversion is as it's ongoing in life. And that means, too, that this rod must be administered in love. Not in anger, not in frustration, but in the love of God Himself. How often don't we as parents fall short in that? We're frustrated, we're angry, we're thinking only about ourselves and not God. And we administer that discipline that way. That's not the way our Heavenly Father does it. Let us reflect Him in our discipline. But as I said, earlier, the focus of what Solomon says to his son is the response to the chastening of the Lord. God in His discipline says to us, I love you. I'm doing this for your good. I'm working sanctification in your heart and in your life. But now Solomon teaches his son how to respond to the chastening of the Lord. When he says in verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. As Solomon gives this instruction to his son, he is pointing out essentially that there are two wrong responses to the chastening of the Lord. And he's saying, don't respond to the Lord's chastening in this way. And these are the two wrong responses. Some would despise the chastening of the Lord by regarding it too lightly. They don't take it seriously. Others would respond to this chastening of the Lord in such a way that they would think it's too heavy for them. You see, there's the two ditches into which we might fall as we are under the chastening of the Lord. Some would despise that chastening by regarding it too lightly. What I mean is they don't take it seriously. They think that this chastening is not a big deal. They refuse to learn as God is speaking to them in that chastening, in the sovereign control that He has over the circumstances of their lives, and as the Word is being brought to them, as they're reading it, as they hear it in the preaching, or as others may bring it to them, pointing out their sin. They refuse to examine themselves. They refuse to see their sin, and they refuse in the end to repent of their sin. So this is what it looks like. If they're going through financial difficulties and they're living in sin at the time and God is chastening them, they don't talk about God, but instead they talk about the economy. They talk about how it is maybe that their boss is cheating them, or they lost their job because of somebody else and something else that was going on. It's everybody else, not their own sin and not what God has done. Or if there's sickness, they don't talk about what God is doing. Instead, they talk about doctors and medicine and how there are so many bugs that are going around right now. Or if there are difficulties in marriage or with children, they talk about their children and how naughty they are. Or they maybe talk about their spouse. Or they talk about the psychology of people and the makeup of people. But what happens is they take God out of the equation. They're not hearing what God has to say. They're not seeing what God is doing in that chastening. We must hear that God rules over all things and that He sends suffering to get our attention. He intends for us in the chastening work that He does that we notice our sin. He speaks then when we're walking in sin with the different events that happen in our lives, and He chastens us. And He's calling us through those events and the Word of God to repent of those sins. Are we hearing and seeing God in the chastening and the discipline that He administers? I fear sometimes that it would be true of us that we would be so hesitant to say that God may be disciplining us for a particular sin that we really kind of skip over that. We like to focus on the fact that, well, generally, God sends hardship to strengthen faith and to strengthen us in holiness and in godliness. That's true. But how often do we genuinely consider if God is sending something to chasten us? Some of us know how often our children need spankings, especially when they're young. Do we need them any less? We need to be hearing what God's saying to us. We need to see what God says to us in the hardships of life. We need to face these hard questions. We need to be on our knees. We need to be asking God, what are you showing? What are you saying? Is there this sin I'm walking in that I'm refusing to see? Open my eyes to see it. It means coming before God in that humility and asking Him to search us and try us and to show us if there's any evil way in us. If we're not doing that, we're despising the chastening of the Lord. Others would despise the chastening of the Lord by responding that it's too heavy. They become weary of it. Solomon speaks of that here too. They become weary of it. They fall into self-pity. They're overwhelmed by despair as they're under that chastening hand of God. What happens is they really become focused on themselves. We can understand that from the perspective of a child. Sometimes there's a child, we spank that child, we talk to that child about their sin. We call them to repent of their sin. All that child does is sob and sob and sob and never gets over it. And you know that child's not listening to anything that you say. They're just at that moment feeling sorry for themselves. They're not sobbing because they're broken. They're sobbing because they hurt. It's about themselves at that moment. That's the other wrong response to the chastening of the Lord. Because when we're there, when we're in that place, we're not thinking about what God calls us to do. We're not truly repenting of our sins then. We're refusing to be comforted by the cross of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God, God's love. Instead, we may be thinking that God is against us. And because we think God is against us, we're not repenting of our sins. But now God comes to us this morning. He says, don't be weary. Don't be weary of my reproof. Don't be weary of my discipline. Don't be weary of my chastisement. And don't despise what I do in this way. Be assured, I'm a merciful and loving Father. I come to you. I discipline you. But it's for your good. So remember, this is the right response. Repent of your sins. Believe and know that I love you and I care for you. And that's the point we have to see this morning. God is teaching us how to respond to discipline and correction. He says to us today that we must not reject or despise discipline. What's your response? What's your response to the severe blows that He sends upon you? The response must not be despising it. The response must not be holding on to sin. The response must not be, I'm going to figure out my own way. That must not be the response. The Scriptures warn of that. If you turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Solomon continues to give instruction to his son. He talks to his son about the sinful world around him and the temptations that are there. And then we read in verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined mine heart to them that instructed me. That's a son who despised the chastening of the Lord and the chastening of his father. Later on, maybe finally he understands those things. He hated instruction. His heart despised reproof, and there are many warnings about that in the Proverbs. This is folly. It's folly to despise reproof. One who's wise hears reproof, hears it, and responds rightly to that reproof. But understand the end of it. You go to the end of chapter 5. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. To continue to despise the chastening of the Lord ends with this. Be clear. It ends with death. Not physical death. Well, it does that too. It's spiritual death. That's for the fool who despises instruction. May we not despise instruction. May we instead respond rightly. And that right response is humble repentance. Not only crying out to God to show us our sin, but when we see it and know what that sin is, to confess that before God and to turn from that. It's not just confession. It's turning from that sin. And using God's Word and using the help of other people who come alongside of us and praying to God that He would give us strength to turn from that sin in our lives. And when that happens, that's God producing that in us. That's the fruit of the chastening of the Lord. But now that has application for us as parents as we teach our children. And this may be something that we as parents often neglect. That we neglect to teach our children how they are to respond to our discipline. Not only are we to teach them about God and that He demands of us that we discipline them, we're probably pretty good at that. We say that to our children. God says I have to do this. I must do this. I do this because I love you. And I want to teach you that way which is right. We must teach our children those things, but we must also teach our children how to respond to discipline. That's what Solomon's doing here with his son. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Not just what's going to happen in the future in hardships, but even as I discipline you, son, the Lord's bringing that upon you through me. Don't despise it. Solomon is teaching his son how to respond to the discipline he has carried out on him. That's what we must teach our children. Maybe some of you have it, or have had it at times, that when you've disciplined your children with the rod, that you've had a child that's been out of control, kicking and screaming, and angry, and rebellious at that moment, and we don't know what to do. Well, there may be reasons for that. It may be that we're provoking them to anger. It's because of the way we approach them. And they knew we were angry. And they're afraid. And then it becomes a power struggle. And they're defiant. That may be part of it. But part of it is this. Have we taught our children how to respond? Have we said before we spank them, now afterwards, this is going to hurt, I'm going to spank you, but afterwards you may not kick and scream. Because that says you're not sorry to God for what you've done. And maybe afterwards, the reason they do that is because we don't hold them and show them that we love them. We came in anger. A way to help that, I believe, is that we show them love. We spank them and then we hold them on our lap. We tell them that we love them. We want what's best for them. And no doubt that's going to help them in their response as well. But we as parents have to teach our children how to respond. It's no surprise if we don't teach our children how to respond to our chastening, that when they're older and the Lord's chastening them, they respond no differently. In essence, kicking and screaming. Woe on us as parents if we're not teaching our children how to respond rightly to the Lord's chastening when we chasten them. May we teach them that because we want them to know how to respond to the chastening of the Lord. It's about Him. It's about God. There's no guarantee that they respond in the right way. We can't make them respond in the right way. We know it. We've seen defiant children after their discipline. We've seen broken children, but we've seen defiant children. Some who, no matter how hard you spank them, they won't cry. Or some that will be kicking and screaming afterwards. And even saying things that they ought not to say. We can't make them respond in the right way, but we must teach them how to respond to the living God. That's the negative. There's also the positive. To respond rightly to the chastening of the Lord, we must be assured of who the Lord is. The text uses the name Jehovah. He's Jehovah. And therefore, to understand the Lord's chastening rightly, there must be trust in Jehovah. We must see God this morning and trust in Him. We are called to trust in the Lord as He chastens and disciplines us. We must remember and understand that that name Jehovah points out that God is sovereign. He is in control. When we're corrected, when there is hardship and affliction in our lives, that is sent by God. We know that. But God has a purpose with hardship and difficulty. It's to correct our sin. It's to lead us in holiness and in godliness. It's to teach us to trust in Him. So along with seeing His sovereignty in that correction, we must also trust that He is a loving God. Beloved, when we are disciplined, The best thing for us to do is to meditate upon God's love in Jesus Christ. The only way to see discipline rightly, the only way to see rightly the hardships and difficulties in our lives is to see clearly the cross of Jesus Christ and the love of God that is shown in that cross. We must hear what God our Father says to us. I love you. I love you. And this is for your good. Let's understand that. As parents, we understand how foolish it is for a child to say that his parents should give to him whatever he wants. And if they truly love me, that's what they would do. No, the wise child says, his parents discipline, that's good. They refuse to give him or her certain things, and that is good. Let's see discipline in that same way. God loves us. He knows what is best for us. That's the beautiful truth that we have in Hebrews 12. I meant to point that out to you earlier. Hebrews 12 verses 5 and 6 speak of this passage in Proverbs 3. We read there, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And verse 7 explains that too. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Children understand that. They do. They do understand it. If their parents don't discipline them all and they see their friends and they are disciplined, they understand that there's a lack of love there. Loving parents discipline their children. That's what God does for us. If God didn't love you, you would have a pain-free life. But because God loves us, life is not pain-free. There's suffering. There's suffering that comes because He loves us. And God's ways are always right. That's the other thing we must see in that name, Lord. He is wise. God is not subject to error like a doctor who maybe prescribes pills and he says to you, well, we'll see if this works. Come back in a couple of weeks. If these pills aren't working, we'll try some different ones. That's not the way God works with us. He's not saying, well, I'll try this for a while. If that doesn't work, I'm going to try the next things. Our lives are not too complicated for the Lord. Our Lord is the architect and engineer of countless galaxies. Proverbs that. Proverbs 3, 19 and 20 at the end. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. He's the architect and engineer of everything in the universe and the countless galaxies that there are. If He's Lord of all of that, He's Lord of our lives too. And He knows what He is doing. He's the architect and engineer of our lives. He is wise in what He does. And so we are able to confess in response, affliction has been for my profit. God knows what He is doing. Let us live in that way then, in the knowledge that discipline is for our profit. Discipline has a purpose and goal. That purpose and goal is heavenly life. In heaven, there will be no more trials and afflictions. Why? Because the purpose and goal is accomplished. There's no more sin in heaven. But in this life, God is sanctifying us. It's a long process as long as we live here on this earth. God is stamping us in His image in this life so that we are prepared to live with Him for all eternity without any sin. And God's work in delivering us from sin is perfect. Now we might wonder, a child might wonder, why do my parents have to discipline me so much? Our perspective in this life might be that as well. Why all of this? Does it really take all of this? I believe that one day in heaven our perspective will be much different. In heaven our perspective will be how amazed at how few strokes it took for God to work His work of sanctification within us. He's the master craftsman who's crafting us preparing us for life with Him. And as He does that, be assured that God is not indifferent to our cries. As parents, we understand that. We tell our children we're going to discipline them, we're going to spank them, and they cry out for mercy. There may be times when we don't do it because the end is accomplished. They're repenting of their sins. We show mercy. God shows mercy too. That doesn't mean we change the mind of God. If we cry out to Him, then He won't discipline us like we need. But God, through all of the discipline He sends upon us, He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." So until that end, when there will be no more discipline, let us learn the lessons that God is teaching us. Let us respond properly and rightly to the discipline that God administers. So often we don't respond rightly. How often do we not respond rightly to the circumstances of life? It's way more than we realize. We're hurt by other people. There are people who, because they've been hurt by other people within the church, would ever say, "I'm never going back to church again," or "I'm never going back to that church because of the way that people have treated me." And that's wrong. It shouldn't happen that way, that people treat other people in a wrong way. But especially when we're hurt by other people, the problem for us is that we take God out of the picture. We forget to hear what God's saying to us. And we simply respond as we would want to respond. Maybe we try to convince ourselves this is God's will and this is right. I give that as just one example of that. What's our response to the circumstances of life and to the chastening hand of God? It should be, "What's God teaching me?" Through those kinds of things, when we're hurt by others, He's teaching the wonder and the power of His love for us. But are we crying out to God? Do our children see that as parents we're crying out to God, not complaining about people and the circumstances of life, but crying out to the living God? Hebrews 12, which we read a few moments ago, says that we need to be reminded of this. We forget. We forget about the chastening of the Lord. When we discipline our children, how often are we thinking about the chastening of the Lord? May the Word of God work this morning to remind us of something higher and greater. Not just that we have the calling as parents to discipline our children, but in doing that, we're training them for the discipline that the Lord Himself carries out on them and us through our lives here on this earth. May that be the wonderful reminder of God's love in chastisement and how it is we are to respond in a right way before Him. And may God give us strength to do that, and our children's strength to respond in the right way to the chastening that's carried out on them. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word. And we are thankful for chastisements, discipline that Thou didst administer upon us. In humility this morning, Father, we know our need for it. Give us strength to respond rightly. To respond not by despising it, but instead that we would repent and love that chastening that Thou dost give to us because of the good purpose that it is accomplishing, our sanctification and preparation for life with Thee forever. Glorify Thyself then through us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.